things are about to get pretty weird in the NBA with this whole coronavirus stuff. Enes Kanter is really hurting the Celtics. And we'll get the Indiana perspective. The belt is on the line on Tuesday, people. The belt is on the line. We'll talk about it Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Millies, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global, but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Happy Tuesday to you, dear faithful listener. Thank you for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You've got a lot to do every day. You go to work, you're at the gym, whatever it is that you're doing, to take this podcast along with you means a lot. And you've made this podcast the number one Celtics podcast in the world. That means so much to me, and I want to thank you all for doing so. This is an amazing thing, and I'm just humbled and grateful for it, and I just want to just shout it from the rooftops. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. I cover the Boston Celtics. If this is your first time listening, I'm a beat writer. I'm with the team. I'm on the road. I'm here in Indianapolis, Indiana, in my hotel room doing this podcast, and frankly, I don't know how often this is going to happen anymore. And I honestly had the thought of, am I going to get stuck in Indiana? Because with this whole coronavirus thing, I don't know if, like, when I get on a plane, if somebody coughs, is that going to be a thing? Am I going to be the guy? Am I going to be the one, the media guy that gets the coronavirus on the plane? And like becomes like this epicenter of the NBA coronavirus scare. Like, this is a legitimate fear that I have now. And I wasn't afraid of coronavirus like a week ago. I didn't care a week ago. Now, all of a sudden, it's just flooding everything that I do. It's all over the place. And to the point where I met a fan of the podcast the other day at the Oklahoma City game. And he shook my hand. And I feel bad saying this because it's a cool dude. I'm sure you're fine. You shook my hand and I was like, oh my God, what do I do now? A person shook my hand. And it's fine. It's fine. Like, I mean, I use Purell and all of that stuff. But like, we're at a point now where I say hi to somebody and the simple gesture of shaking a hand, I'm like, what should I do? What do I do now? This is insane. So... but don't stop coming up and saying hi. Maybe we'll switch to like fist bumps or something for the time being. But honestly, look, the NBA has now limited our access to locker rooms, which I'm totally fine with. I get it. I'm on a plane. You don't know who's on that plane with me. You don't know who I've come in contact with. I'm at a hotel. I'm in this hotel room. I don't know who was here before me. It's a little scary to think about that, actually. I'm just around in the public a lot. And I'm a healthy individual that if I actually do get coronavirus, I think I'll be fine. And it'll, for me personally, it'd probably just be like the flu, but I don't want to spread it. And so there's that whole thing. So I get it. As a member of the media, you want to take this person who travels and you want to limit their exposure to an NBA player who now is in going out there for 48 minutes and slamming into other people and sweating on each other and all of that stuff. So there are new rules that were just put into place on Monday. Media has to like stay 6 to 8 feet away from people. Celtics have shoot around on Tuesday morning. And I will be at shoot around at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I don't know how that's going to go. So it's going to be a little weird. That's going to impact my coverage on Mass Live. It's going to impact this podcast a little bit, I think, because I mean, luckily I actually have a selfie stick. I bought a selfie stick last season so I can like reach over and actually shoot video of these guys. I'm going to use it now to record audio from 6 feet away. Luckily, I'm tall. I've got long arms. I can actually get in there and get some good audio for you guys. But NBA is going to get weird. And I mean, I bring it up not to say I'm going to get my job done. You'll hear from players. Somehow you'll hear what they have to say. We'll get the analysis done. But when you're watching, if you're going to games, be aware that you might not be able to go to these games for a while. If you've got tickets, you might not be able to go to a Celtics game. And that's going to severely impact how many people are coming in from out of town. Not just outside of Boston, people who come up from Rhode Island, people who come in from New York, people who come in from other countries, not just other states, other countries, people who come in and build an entire like vacation around Boston Celtics basketball. What about the people at the arenas who are probably working for, if not minimum wage, close to it, not much more than it, and I'm sure there's not a ton of sick time. I'm sure if you're not working, you're not getting paid. What about those people? If the fans aren't there, the concessions aren't selling, and I don't care necessarily about Jeremy Jacobs or Delaware North or whatever not getting there, but like whatever, they can absorb that. That's fine. I care about the person who's selling you the beer. What about that person? You know, ushers, different people around the arena. What about the bars, the small businesses outside of the Garden that rely on fans going into the game, coming out of the game? You know, a place like Boston Beer Works, it's got a couple of locations, but it's not a huge business. What about smaller bars or restaurants around that area? They're going to be impacted. If you don't have 20,000 people, 18,000, 18,500 people, whatever the number is, walking into that arena, walking past these small businesses, frequenting these small businesses, going in there and having a dinner, going into the Fours and having a dinner, whatever the business is, that's going to hurt. So I'll get my job done, but there's going to be a lot. And that's coming. I'm telling you that's coming. Because if they're already at this point where they're limiting access to the media, there are coronavirus cases in Massachusetts alone that are cropping up. What's the next step? If I can't be within 6 feet of a player, why are fans able to reach over and lean into the player's tunnel for high fives? That's going to be a problem. And players have a hard time avoiding that. And that's going to be something that sucks for the people who go, because there are a lot of kids there. They're not going to be able to get their autographs. That's a big moment for these kids. The impact of this thing is far and wide. And I assume I will be able to go into Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And while I can't go into the locker room, accommodations will be made and I will get you stories and whatever I can. But the fans are going to miss out. You're going to be watching games eventually. This is almost guaranteed at this point. You're going to be watching games eventually with no fans in the stands, which is going to be wild. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know when that's going to happen. But you look at NBA cities like San Francisco, already very hard hit. Massachusetts is seemingly okay, definitely not as hard hit as San Francisco, where they're canceling large public events and government city-owned arenas, venues, it's the Chase Center is not going to be far behind. And if the Chase Center does it, all it needs is one. If the Chase Center does it, then the trickle down is going to be quick. It's going to be far-reaching, and any city, any state, any municipality that has coronavirus cases, they will act quickly, I think. So NBA basketball is going to get very weird for a little while. We'll see how that impacts how you watch, how you consume, but there are a lot of stories that are going to be told, and this is going to be a very wide impact. The 2020 NBA season will be remembered for this. Like, that's going to be a blip in history that's going to be like, wow, remember when once upon a time, like, your grandchildren are going to see stories about the 50th anniversary of when the coronavirus shut down NBA games or caused games to be played without fans. That's where we are here. So, Enes Kanter, when we talk about basketball, Enes Kanter has become a big problem for the Boston Celtics. And that's something that I know a few of you have been kind of preaching for a while. But the nuance there from before, that's all gone. So that's next.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So I said in yesterday's podcast that I wanted to talk about Enes Kanter, and I didn't in that one because other things were, I think, a little bit more important. But the Enes Kanter thing is important, and we are now at two straight games with Kanter getting minutes and then not getting minutes in the second half. So almost like Brad Stevens is floating a test balloon and seeing, hey, can Enes play today? And against Oklahoma City and against Utah, the answer has been no, he can't play in the second half. 6 minutes in the first half against Oklahoma City, 5 minutes against Utah in the first half, both losses, and no minutes in the second half. It has been a precipitous decline in Enes Kanter's production. It's not the first time, by the way, that he's had single digits in back-to-back games, and he's come back from that before. He had single digits on the road at Minnesota and the Lakers, and then he came back and was mildly effective against Portland, and he got a bunch of minutes against Utah in Utah and was pretty, not pretty effective, but effective enough. Put it that way. Didn't hurt the Celtics. Against Brooklyn, against Utah, against Oklahoma City. I think Utah stands out in my mind. But Oklahoma City, to a lesser degree. In the Utah game, it felt like the Celtics were playing really well. And then Kanter came in, and Utah targeted him over and over again with pick and rolls, like you're supposed to. And they got going, and the Celtics could never recover. So you go back to the conversation from yesterday, and you say, all right, the Celtics have developed bad habits of feeling comfortable, letting things spiral out of control. But then you add this element of Enes Kanter over the past few games since the All-Star break, especially since they got home, has been a bit of a detriment to the Celtics. Some of you will say he was a detriment from the beginning of the season, which is not true. And if you look at the splits, I think the splits tell the entire story here. In December and January, Cantor played a combined 25 games. In December, he shot 59% and he had three offensive rebounds a game, 3.2. In January, he shot 63%, three offensive rebounds a game. He had 9 rebounds per game over those 2 months. Those were months where the Celtics were still shorthanded. They still had guys out, in and out of the lineup. They weren't healthy. It's not like they had a full complement of guys. In those months, Cantor came in, and while he may have had his bad stretches and the occasional bad matchup, he was able to still get offensive rebounds and not be a total negative on defense. In fact, in December, his plus minus, he was a 7.3, plus 7.3 in December. And it was a plus 1.2 in January. So he had positive impacts on the game. And so I remember, I mean, how many times have we talked about on this podcast over that stretch that people were getting down on Cantor unnecessarily, that he is who he is and he has certain limitations, and that's for sure. No one's going to deny that. But at the same time, he was effective in those minutes, doing enough good things to counteract the bad things, and he helped the Celtics win games. Well, now here comes February and March. Now, in February, he's still a plus 2.7, but you start to look at the deeper numbers a little bit. His shooting has just tailed off. 46.5% in February, 35.3% in four games in March. His rebounding is down from 7.2 to 5.3 in March. Now, that coincides with a drop in minutes to from at his peak, 20 minutes a game in January, 17 minutes a game in February, 10 minutes a game in March. So Brad Stevens is seeing this as well. And you can go all the way back to the game in Houston before the All-Star break, where Cantor got minutes and it was just brutal against the Rockets. And that was a game where we're like, geez, man, we could use Robert Williams out there on the floor. And now that Robert Williams is back, I think you're seeing a not coincidental drop in the minutes for Cantor. I bring all of this up not to just put all of this on Enes Kanter, but a big reason why the Boston Celtics were able to persevere as different guys got hurt, okay, as Gordon Hayward dealt with his broken hand, as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum missed time for various things, Marcus Smart missed time, illness, Kemba Walker got sick, missed some time. Part of why they were able to persevere was because Enes Kanter was fairly effective off the bench. And frankly, in March, recently, he has not been effective. Not at all. Why? Why is he not effective? Is it because he's not getting enough minutes? I don't think so. Is it because of his hip? Now, the hip injury happened a month ago, and he has said to NBC Sports Boston that the pain was so great and there was internal bleeding that after he got hurt, he passed out twice, which is wild to me. But he had so much pain and blood loss, allegedly, that he passed out twice. So if that's the case, I'm assuming that the week or so, 2 weeks, whatever it was, that he missed, I don't think he's moving quite as well as he was before. If this is the case, if his hip is still bugging him, now with Robert Williams healthy, just now's the time for the Celtics to just sit him down. Just sit him, and can they get him healthy? I don't know exactly what's going on with that hip. If there's internal bleeding, what happened with that internal bleeding? What happened for him to wake up and say, oh my God, I think I'm paralyzed? Which I think there might be a little bit of Enes Kanter dramatics in there because he likes to be a little dramatic. But also, I don't think, like, you don't say that without it being somewhat serious. So I don't know what the real story is with the hip, but if he's not exactly where he was before, can the Celtics get him to where he was before? Bring Poirier up. He can't be worse than Kanter right now. Start Tice. Tice is awesome for this team anyway. Bring in Robert Williams. Robert Williams needs the reps anyway. You got to get him ready for the playoffs. And then have Poirier. If you need a 7-footer in there to kind of bang and rebound, bring him up. Let him get some minutes. Sit Enes Kanter. Get his hip right. Because there's going to be a time in the playoffs. I know you hate to hear this. Some of you definitely hate to hear this. There's going to be a time in the playoffs where Enes Kanter might actually help this team. And that's, you need to have everything at your disposal. The Celtics need to have every player as healthy as they could possibly get him. And if Kanter's not healthy, then we got to get him to a point where he can kind of reproduce some of these December, January numbers. Because the Celtics bench struggles, and he's the one guy that has actually done it in the playoffs. Last year for Portland, he was actually pretty good for them. The Celtics need to have that available to them. So if he's not right, sit him down, get him right. Just get him right. If this is who he is moving forward, then maybe this is like the Cinderella, you know, coach turns into a pumpkin and it's over. I don't think so. I think there's still something wrong with his hip. So they need to fix this. They need to fix this because he's more important to the Celtics than a lot of people care to admit. And they need to fix it. Up next, the Indiana Pacers perspective. You'll hear from Locked On Pacers next. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I noted this at the top of the podcast, but this game against the Indiana Pacers is exceptionally important because this game is for the NBA belt. The belt is on the line, people. If you don't know what the NBA belt is, it's an obsession of mine this season, and I swear I'm going to turn this into a thing. I want this to become a thing. The concept is the NBA champion comes into the season as the belt holder. So the Toronto Raptors come into the season as the belt holder, and then from there, the entire regular season, it gets passed around with wins and losses. And so the Celtics have held the belt multiple times. And the Pacers took the belt from the Dallas Mavericks a couple of nights ago, Sunday. And I've been tracking this on my Twitter, Reds_Army_John, if you haven't been listening. And I kind of overlooked that game. because the OKC game was kind of crazy and I had to get the after, you know, the post game stuff, and I'm traveling on Monday. So I really just didn't focus on anything besides the game. And now I'm here in Indy and I'm realizing, like, oh crap, this is like, what happened to the Mavericks? Oh, the Pacers beat the Mavericks. The Pacers have the belt. The Pacers are the NBA belt champs. So like a wrestling match, the belt is on the line. The Celtics are going in there against Indy, and if they win, they come away with the belt. I love this concept. I think it's fun. Wouldn't it be fun to just have a belt at the arena and it goes with the team? I don't care who wears it. If you have a team captain, I don't care if the mascot has it. Who cares? But just to have a belt sitting at the scorer's table, a big championship belt in the middle of the scorer's table, that would be awesome to see. And at the end of the game, the winner walks off. Like, whoever gets the post-game interview gets to walk off with the belt. I think it would just give a regular season game a little extra juice. And I think the guys would get into it. I want to see it. I want to see it. So, I don't know. Maybe you guys can help. Follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. Or retweet it. Give me a suggestion. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I think it can be fun. And a lot of people have said this would be fun. So, I don't know how to make it work. But next season, whatever, I'll make a bigger thing of it. I think it can be fun. Anyway. So the Celtics play the Pacers, and I thought it'd be fun to give a little bit of a Pacers perspective. I didn't get a crossover episode, but I did take a snippet of Locked On Pacers, the Monday show. They're talking about the Celtics game. So go ahead and subscribe or check out Locked On Pacers, because they're good. They're a couple of good dudes over there. They do a great job. Had Tony on the podcast a bunch. So you got to check them out, but I wanted to play for you a little few minutes of what they were saying from the Indiana perspective about the Boston Celtics. So here they are.
I think the advantage they obviously have is they're going to have the center spot, right? That's where the
Pisces are. Again, I'm really looking forward to this game for a selfish reason, but I really am excited for Tice to do good against the Pacers. So all these dork wads on Twitter who are like, the Pacers can easily beat the Celtics. They don't have anything.
Well, they can't, because I played them last year, and this team is basically they're basically a better version of Tatum and Brown, and then a swap Kemba for Kyrie, which is actually probably better for this team. So they definitely.
Yeah, they lost Horford. That's the big one.
Yeah.
But
they lost Horford, but like everything else.
They play a ton faster now they don't have Horford. And because they have all these speedy wings, that is really useful.
This team will not be easy to beat, but that is the advantage where Sabonis should be able to have a nice night.
He can play good, but like Tice is really good, man.
No, I know. Sabonis is really good too.
Sabonis is really good. Sabonis is obviously better than Tice, and Enes Kanter is terrible. And I remember we focused the last time these guys played on the Kanter Sabonis minutes being really important.
That's true. That's also
That still is true. And if that in the playoffs, if these two teams do meet, that would be big time. Is I wonder if the Pacers would even target getting Sabonis out there with Kanter out there and just pick and roll, hammer it to death.
So should we read Tatum's 2020 stats from the start of the year?
My gosh, he's been so good.
So in 26 games since the start of the new year, Tatum is averaging 26 points per game on 47, 43 and a half, 78 shooting. That is a man who is going to be one of the 10 best players in the league eventually.
Superstar. Like right now, he's playing like a superstar.
Did you see the NBA desktop version where...
with his beard connecting?
Well, no, with Jason Concepcion, like crime and Tatum became good.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And I very much felt that.
NBA desktop is very good.
It's hilarious. It's very on point, honestly. But like, I just like, I've never sympathized with that more when I was like, yeah, I hate that Tatum's like going to be awesome. Like, I thought for sure Boston does this fleeces Brooklyn. And after all this whole thing, they end up with like Kemba and Hayward and Brown and Tatum, who are okay, but like none of them are great. And this team is just kind of really good, but never going to be like special. And now it's like
they had three first rounders this year too. They're still sitting.
Yeah, but the first rounders are like in the fifth, in the tenth.
Right, because Memphis is actually good.
You know, top five picks are all that really matters. Right.
they have 220-point scorers on the wing. One who's going to be a superstar plus Kimball.
Well, and they're both under the age of 24. And you add they got some veteran guys, and they can easily maybe move. Not easy, but they can move Hayward if they want to make a move for something else. And like Kemba's still really good. Like. This team...
Yeah, they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah, they're going to be good the next 2 or 3 years at least, and if not the next, like, 5 to 10.
Yeah. Yeah, Tatum's a stud. That changes the dynamic of this, too, because... So what's interesting is, like, we talked about TJ Warren on Luka. They have options to throw at the one guy, but who do you put Warren on if you, you know, in this series? Because, like, I feel like they... My ideal guess would be they'd go Warren on Tatum... Brogdon on Brown and then Depot on Kemba, but of course they don't have Brogdon, and Holiday size means he has to be on Kemba.
Yeah, Holiday's guarding Kemba for sure.
For sure. So Depot maybe on Brown and then Warren on Tatum. But yeah, picking who Warren guards is tough in this matchup. I could hear a lot of answers.
I also definitely think you could see a lot of smaller minutes versus Bonus at center, Justin Holiday in this game.
Yeah, because Gordon Hayward is a killer matchup there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to assume Brown isn't going to play. I think that's maybe a fair.
I am also operating under that assumption right now.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a fair.
I forget who I read that he's going to be out for a week from, but he hasn't played since then, so they've been right so far.
Yeah, so, and if he doesn't play, that makes this a little easier, because then who do they play? I'm going to look up their who they started last night.
Smart, didn't they?
They started Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, wow.
They That's went cool. well. They went.
That so
went
very eight. Strong.
So that means the two centers can play then, right?
Yeah.
That means that actually is much better, because they move Hayward. Well, Hayward also didn't play in this game, so actually that maybe throws it out of the window.
He played tonight against the Thunder for the Celtics.
Okay, so let me look.
They lost that game though.
So what? Okay, so then let me look at their lineup tonight. But I'm guessing that they probably do a little small. But I mean, yeah, with the matchups you said, I think that makes. Sort of sense.
There is some tough cross matches just between, like, Sabonis has to guard someone and they don't really.
Okay, so tonight they went Tatum, Hayward, Walker, Smart, Tice.
Yeah, so if that's the case, you'd go with Sabonis on Marcus Smart for sure, but they're just a hard team to guard, especially at their best. So we'll see how they line up and how they try to do it. This could be a bench game. If you're going to pick the bench, I'm going to do it for this game. I don't know if you are. As
well. I was going to pick TJ Warren. I think he's going to be critical.
Yeah, so my X factor is the bench. Not that the Celtics bench is bad. They have a lot of specialty guys, right? Cantor, good rebounder, good offensive player. Brad Wanamaker's a good shooter. Semi Ojeleye is really strong and broody. So is Marcus Smart, although he's going to start this time. So they like... They can fit those guys in around their wings, and they're dynamic with how their lineups work. But none of those players are studs who like tremble fear into your team. So I think if the bench can play cohesively like they have the last two games, they could do some damage.
No Malcolm Brogdon in this game for the Indiana Pacers. That's big. Victor Oladipo is back, obviously. He's had big games against the Boston Celtics before. So that's something to watch for. No Jaylen Brown for the Boston Celtics in this one. So, well, I will say, hold on. Let me backtrack. I assume no Jaylen Brown. Tuesday morning, shoot around at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Brad Stevens will answer whether Jaylen Brown is actually playing or not. I think he's with the team. So... There is a possibility of Jaylen Brown playing. I don't think it's likely, but it's possible. They said they'd reevaluate him in a week. A week is Wednesday. He wanted to come back a little sooner. So maybe. So I retract how definite I sounded a moment ago. It's possible he'll play. So if you want the update, you can follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. I will be out there as soon as I know. I will put it out there on Twitter, and then I will write about it on MassLive.com. So follow me on Twitter, follow my work on MassLive.com, and of course, subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done that already, please, I beg of you, subscribe to the podcast. So this way, it just shows up on your device whenever it's posted. You can also rate the podcast 5 stars, give it a good written review. I've heard from people that doing this on iTunes can be a confusing process, but please, please try to figure it out. I don't know. I don't have iTunes. So sorry, I'm Team Android. So I don't listen to my stuff through iTunes. So I don't know how to help you there. If anybody does, let me know. But rating it 5 stars and giving a good written review would be a big help. And share the podcast. Tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your family, tell mortal enemies that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.